What's up, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Ramswire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Da Silva. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam Da Silva, and you can follow us on Twitter at The Ramswire. Today, we'll be looking back on the Rams' win over the 49ers, previewing their upcoming matchup with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, talking about a few trade targets, an update on Cooper Kupp, whether Todd Gurley can kind of be an MVP, and if the Rams can go 16-0, like some analysts are predicting and thinking could happen. So we got a lot to talk about today. We're right in the midst of a 7-0 start for the Rams, their best start since 1985. All 35 teams since 1970 that have started 7-0 went on to make the playoffs. So that's kind of where the Rams are looking right now. It'd be kind of hard to see them missing the playoffs after this hot start, especially after the way that they've dominated each team they've played. But in the NFL, you never really know what's going to happen. And they just got to take it a week at a time from now on and kind of just try to win each game that comes across on the schedule. But for now, we're going to take a look at last week's win on Sunday over the 49ers, a game that was flexed out of prime time because it was going to be uncompetitive and the Rams were going to blow them out, which they did. Ironically, the game that was flexed into prime time, the Bengals and the Chiefs game, that game had a wider margin of victory for the Chiefs. It was 45-10. So which game was more interesting to you? But looking at the 49ers and Rams game, obviously the Rams won 39-10. It was a blowout from really the first quarter on. They took a 3-0 lead, kept piling on the points. They had 7 sacks, 4 turnovers. Aaron Donald got to C.J. Beathard 4 times. That's a career high for him. He forced a fumble and recovered it in the same play. Really just an all-around dominant effort from the defense as a whole and really from those guys up front. Dominican Sue was playing well. Even though he didn't get into the sack parade, he did have a strong game against a 49ers offensive line that's been shaky. But Aaron Donald was in the backfield on almost every play. He was the best player on the field, whether it's offense, defense, it doesn't make a difference. Aaron Donald was absolutely unstoppable for the 49ers, and they had no answer for him, whether it was in the running game, the passing game, protecting Beathard in the pocket. There was nothing they could do that would keep Donald off of Beathard. Really looking at kind of the edge rush, which got going a little bit. Samson Ebukam had a strip sack. It was actually a nice play. He rushed off the left side as that left defensive end, which isn't his usual position. Usually he's on that weak side as a right defensive end, but rushed upfield against the right tackle. Got a little bit too far upfield, looped back around, and hit Beathard just as he was getting ready to throw the ball. Ball popped out. Trayvon Young recovered it. And that was the first of the Rams' 4 turnovers. So a good start there. And then John Johnson and Troy Hill each had interceptions. They were both really spectacular interceptions that would honestly rank up there among the best in the league this season. Good plays in coverage. It initially looked like Johnson had broken up the pass. Then the receiver appeared to regain possession. Johnson ripped it out of his hands. It was honestly a crazy play, one that kind of was hard to tell what happened exactly until watching the replay, but nonetheless a great play by Johnson. And then Hill had a similar play where he undercut the route. I think it was intended for Marquise Goodwin. Just made a solid diving interception in the middle of the field to kind of redeem himself after a shaky game against the Broncos where he gave up a near touchdown and a few big plays. So a nice bounce back game for him. Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown both ran the ball really well. Brown actually outrushed Gurley by 2 yards despite having 2 fewer carries. But overall, they rushed for 128 yards on 28 carries. Solid production there. Offensive line did a good job opening up holes for them. Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods each had a couple of end-arounds. Goff scrambled for 5 yards on one play. So all around a good, solid rushing effort from the team, led by Todd Gurley, of course, who had 3 touchdowns. his fifth game with three touchdowns since the start of last season, which is three more than any other player in the league has. So he's more than doubled the next closest players in that department, which kind of just goes to show how solid he's been the past 2 years under Sean McVay. Josh Reynolds, Nick Williams, they both stepped up. They played increased snaps with Cooper Kupp out. Reynolds only had one catch for 19 yards, but it was a good play to get the ball down to the one-yard line, and then Gurley punched it in. Nick Williams had a couple of catches. I think they were both on third down. One of them definitely went for a first down. He was only targeted twice, caught both of those passes for 17 yards. So it's good to see him get going after he just got signed this past week, before the game. So nice to see him playing. If Cooper Kupp returns, obviously he could be cut or just kind of relegated to more of a backup role. But really a good showing for him, and good to see him kind of get some production in his first week of action. And then lastly, looking at the snap counts, I was a little bit surprised to see Nickell Robey-Coleman not playing many snaps at all. He was the number four cornerback in that department. Marcus Peters and Troy Hill led the way, playing the majority of the game. And then there was Sam Shields, who played 22 snaps, which was 38%. Much further down the list, Nickell Robey-Coleman only played 14 snaps, which was 24%. He's been their starting nickel corner all season. He's manned the slot really well. And it was just kind of surprising to see him only play 14 snaps against a team where they were throwing the ball a pretty hefty amount, even though they didn't have many offensive plays. Beathard had 27 pass attempts. So kind of surprising to see what happened there. I didn't hear any injury concerns or anything like that. Sean McVay said nothing about it in his post-game press conference, nothing about it on Monday. So kind of just surprising to see him. I don't know if he's falling out of favor. He shouldn't. He's playing well this season. But obviously he was limited on Sunday against the 49ers. As far as injuries do go, Sean McVay said Jared Goff got banged up a little bit. He's fine. It was just kind of, he's just sore. No concerns there. And then Cooper Kupp, he said, quote unquote, is making good progress, whether it's this week or whether it's another week, hard to say right now. We're just taking it a day at a time with him. And then McVay said things are looking very positive in terms of the way he's responding. So just kind of something to keep an eye on. That MCL, it was a sprained MCL, I believe. It's an injury that's not ever really long term. He was fortunate in that because it was on a horse collar tackle where it looked like he could have really messed up his ankle or his knee. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him back on the field this week. We'll get more clarity as the week goes on as far as whether he's practicing, whether he's kind of still doing rehab work on the side. If he's a full participant throughout the week, he's obviously going to play. But my guess would be that he's going to be limited on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, just as far as the Rams go. Just kind of protecting him, taking it easy. You're 7-0. There's no need to rush a player back and possibly put further damage on that knee and make things worse. So it's not anything they want to do. Obviously, we'll keep you updated. Follow us on Twitter at the RamsWire. We'll be able to tell you everything that's going on. We'll have posts throughout the week from the injury report. So Kupp is definitely going to be a focus of this situation and this throughout the week of practice. So be sure to stay locked into us, and we'll keep you updated on that. Moving on to another topic of discussion. Trade targets. You got the trade deadline coming up on October 30th. That's next week, next Tuesday. So teams have about a week to get these deals done. We've seen a couple happen already. Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper, gave up a first round pick. That's a topic for another day and another editor to talk about. You can go to the Cowboys Wire and Rams Wire to find out about that. But not exactly a move that's making a lot of Cowboys fans happy with that draft pick return. But anyway, and then you have Eli Apple being traded to the Saints from the Giants for a fourth round pick and then another seventh rounder in 2020. So there are fairly big name players on the move. With today's NFL, teams aren't waiting out those rookie contracts. They're not, if they don't feel a player is going to fit with their system, with their new scheme, with new coaches, teams are going to cut bait. They're gonna move on from players and try to get draft picks in return and recoup those assets. But as far as the Rams go, we've seen them be aggressive throughout the offseason. We saw them trade for Sammy Watkins last year. They've made moves on under Les Snead and Sean McVay to improve this team. So you never know what's going to happen. Right now, they only have 1.9 million in cap space. Next year, that jumps to 37 million, obviously. But I mean, they could make something work as far as getting a trade done this year, but I wouldn't really expect them to trade for a huge name player, anyone who's going to have a huge salary cap hit this year, unless they move someone like Mark Barron or another player who can free up some space and really give them some financial room to work with for this season. So this week I'm gonna put together something where I detail a handful of players that could possibly be on the move for the Rams. Not players that they would trade necessarily, but players they might look to acquire. So I'll rattle off a few names here now before going into detail on the ramswire.com. But obviously the biggest name that everyone's talking about right now is Patrick Peterson. He's a guy that has reportedly asked for a trade from the Cardinals. He's not happy. He's not being used as that matchup corner where he travels with receivers. That's kind of his best asset. He thrives in man coverage, which is what the Rams utilize a lot throughout the game. He's Pro Football Focus's number two cornerback in the league this year. He's playing arguably the best football of his career. Everything about his game right now says number one corner and someone that teams who need cornerback should target. Obviously, he is a little bit on the older side, but I mean, how many times are you going to be presented with an opportunity to go sign a guy who is the number two corner according to Pro Football Focus and has a cap hit of $15 million this year, which is not the highest in the league by any stretch of the imagination? The Rams, I can't really see them making this work. They do have Marcus Peters, who they're going to have to sign eventually. Aqib Talib is injured, and he's on IR. The NFL did make a change this year, and where you can trade players who are on IR. But I don't really see the Rams giving up Aqib Talib or anything like that. I don't know why the Cardinals would even consider doing that. But some have speculated that it might be a wise move for the Rams to take a look at Peterson. I don't see it happening. I'm not gonna say that the Rams are completely out of the running because they did kind of make a push towards Khalil Mack when no one expected them to. But this is a deal that I have a hard time seeing them make just because of the financial situation. They don't have a second round pick this year because of the Marcus Peters trade. I don't think they would be willing to give up a first rounder to get Peterson. But you never know with this team, put it that way. Another name that some have speculated about is Chris Harris Jr. from the Broncos. He went up to Wade Phillips after the game a few weeks ago and said he's going to check in with him this offseason. He kind of made it sound like he's going to try to work his way to the Rams. Some people took it that way, some people didn't. He's playing really well right now. The Broncos are just not a good team, so they could be looking to move guys. You've heard Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and Harris all being talked about as potential trade targets. So he's obviously a name that maybe some Rams fans are going to look at. His cap hit this year is less than Peterson. It's at $10.3 million, and then it drops to 8.7 in 2019. So it's a little bit more feasible, but it's still a high cap hit for a team that only has $1.9 million in cap space this year. Another guy that I have a hard time seeing them make a trade for, but who knows? Maybe the Rams can dump someone like a Mark Barron and save some money. Possibly someone like Jamon Brown, who's going to be a free agent this offseason anyway. You never know. You never know what this team, what they're going to do. Another name that I think would really be a good target for the Rams is Hassan Reddick from the Cardinals, dipping back into that Arizona roster where it could be time to trade some of those guys. He's only played 50% of the snaps this year after being one of their high top picks in 2017. Really kind of fallen out of favor with that coaching staff. But he is someone who has good versatility. He can play inside, he can play outside, he can rush the passer, he can drop back into coverage. He does have 2 sacks this season after having 2.5 last year. So he is, it seems like he's getting, he's producing for the limited snaps that he is playing, which is good to see. It just doesn't seem like that Cardinals coaching staff knows what to do with him. I really, it's hard to explain what the Cardinals are doing over there. They're not using Patrick Peterson to his strengths. They're running David Johnson constantly up the middle when he's more of an edge running back, where if he gets outside, that's where he makes plays happen. You get the ball to him in space. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the Cardinals are doing. They're not going to be good for anytime soon. Josh Rosen, he's a good quarterback. He looks like he's going to be their franchise player. I liked him a lot coming out of UCLA, but I mean, what does he have around him? Christian Kirk isn't anyone that's going to blow the top off of a defense and be a number one receiver. Larry Fitzgerald even has drop problems himself this year. So it could be time for the Cardinals to sell before the deadline, recoup some draft picks, and try to help themselves for the future rather than winning now when it's not going to make a difference and it's only going to hurt their draft position. Couple of pass rushers, other pass rushers who are more strictly guys who are going to get after the quarterback. Bruce Irvin, Dante Fowler, Shaq Barrett, and Shane Ray. Those last two, Barrett and Ray, obviously both with the Broncos. They each have cap hits of $2.9 million this year. Those are guys who the Rams should really take a look at. Similar to Reddick, who has a $3 million cap hit this year. It's someone they can definitely afford. Whether they have to just cut someone, they can get their number. They can create enough space, put it this way, to get either of those players under the cap and really help their pass rush in a big way. Wade Phillips has history with both of those guys, Barrett and Ray. He was there when they were drafted and helped them develop into starting caliber players. But you got Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, who are the two starters on the outside. It's hard to see Barrett and Ray really producing much in that defense. Matt Longacre hasn't been good this year. Ebukam has been decent. He hasn't been really a stud by any measure. So the more players you can add at that position, the better it's going to be for the defense. You have Okoronkwo hopefully coming back. He has another 2 weeks to practice before the Rams have to make a decision on him, whether they're going to activate him, keep him on IR. But they need some help. You're not gonna go out and get someone like a Khalil Mack at this point in the season. But if you can add a solid number two like Barrett, like Ray, or like Reddick, it can make a big difference down the stretch. Bruce Irvin is a guy who I wouldn't really touch. Obviously, we know what's going on in Oakland with the fire sale that they're having and the players that they're dumping. But Irvin is 31 years old. His cap hit is $8.25 million, and he's never really been a solid player for the Raiders out there. I don't see him really coming in here and playing up to that contract. So why would you give up any picks to bring him in and have to cut someone or trade someone to make room for him? I don't really see that happening. Another guy who's of interest is Dante Fowler in Jacksonville. They obviously have some really good players, some good pass rushers, but he's kind of fallen behind guys like Yannick Ngakoue. Calais Campbell's there, of course. So they have a strong core of pass rushers, and Fowler just isn't producing like he should be, as a former first round pick as far as his financial situation goes, he's got $7.2 million on the books for this year. He didn't have his fifth-round option or his fifth-year option picked up by the Jaguars, so he'll be a free agent after the season. He's a guy who's, if you can make the financial situation work and you can get him under contract for the future, maybe you get a bargain in a player who just doesn't fit. He can't outplay those guys in Jacksonville right now, but he can be a solid player for the Rams on the outside there. So just a couple names to think about as the trade deadline approaches. As far as the Rams going 16-0, that's something that Nate Burleson, former NFL receiver, he's on Good Morning Football. He and Peter Schrager both said that they think the Rams are going to go 16-0. They think they're going to go undefeated, be like that Patriots team, run the table. They didn't say anything about the playoffs, whether they're going to go 19-0. But they do see the Rams running the table for the rest of the season. Right now, it's hard to see that fully happening. I mean, it's fun to think about, and it's definitely a possibility, but there's so many good teams in the NFL right now, and their schedule isn't exactly easy. They could lose to the Packers this week, then they take on the Seahawks, they have the Saints, they have the Chiefs, they have the Lions and the Bears. So some tough, tough games coming down the stretch. They're going to have to play those two road games against the Bears and the Lions. So those aren't going to be any easy games by any means. But the Rams are obviously the best team in the league right now. I think the toughest game down the stretch is going to be against the Chiefs in Mexico City. It's going to be on that Monday night, so they'll have a little bit of extra time to prepare, just as the Chiefs will. But I mean, it's going to be a tough game. You see what Patrick Mahomes is doing. They have a similar offense to what the Rams have. Very creative. Guys are being schemed open. The quarterback play has been great on both sides. Running backs have been fantastic. So that's going to be a fun game, but it's just, I'm not sure if that's going to be one that the Rams are going to be locks to win, nor are they going to be locks to beat the Saints or the Packers. I have a hard time seeing them going all the way and finishing this off with a 16-0 record, especially with Sean McVay's willingness to rest players. You could see that happen in week 17. Obviously, they would have a bye if they went that far in the first round, but you don't want to risk injury in a game that's relatively meaningless and it's not going to affect your playoff seeding at all. So obviously fun to talk about. We'll talk about it more as the season goes on if the Rams keep winning. But once we get to that week 11 game against the Chiefs, I think we'll have a better idea of whether they really could go undefeated and run the table and grab that number one seed in the NFC. A big reason for the Rams 7 wins thus far is Todd Gurley. After coming up just short of winning MVP last year, he's putting together another campaign that's worthy of the award. He has 14 touchdowns, leads the NFL in yards as far as rushing with 686, yards from scrimmage with 956. Like I said, 14 touchdowns, he's averaging 2 a game. That puts him on pace for 32 this season, which would pass LaDainian Tomlinson's record of 31 total. Really, he's outscored the Bills 88 points to 81. He has more touchdowns than 8 teams, 9 if you count only offensive touchdowns. Everything he's doing is screaming MVP, but then you have a guy like Jared Goff, who's also playing really well, is deserving of that MVP conversation as well. So it could come down to those two, and then Patrick Mahomes. Some good players right now. Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the discussion. Drew Brees is going to be up there. Tom Brady, of course. Todd Gurley is up there. He's going to be one of the favorites if he continues this torrid pace. He's putting together a season that I didn't think he would be able to have a better year than he had last year. He obviously missed week 17, so that kind of dinged his stats and cost him the rushing title, but he's putting together a season that's going to be one of the best we've ever seen. And as long as he can keep up this pace, I don't expect him to score 2 touchdowns a game the rest of the season, but he's done it for 7 weeks. So, I mean, never doubt this guy. He has a nose for the end zone. Sean McVay seems to be wanting to get him touchdowns when they get into the red zone. So you never know what's going to happen with Gurley. He's definitely an MVP candidate, as is Jared Goff. Like I mentioned, Aaron Rodgers is going to be up there, and he's coming to town this Sunday. The Rams are taking on the Packers at the Memorial Coliseum. Some stats to kind of digest before this game. The Packers are coming off of their bye. Rodgers, in his career, he's 7-2 after weeks off. This season, he has 12 touchdowns, one interception. The Packers are fifth in yards allowed passing, but their defense does rank 22nd against the run. So they've struggled in that department. Could mean another big game for Gurley. Jared Goff might have some trouble passing against that secondary, which has a lot of talent. Haha, Clinton Dix, Josh Jackson, Jair Alexander, Kevin King. A lot of good young cornerbacks and safeties there. So that'll be a fun matchup to watch between those receivers and cornerbacks. Randall Cobb is getting healthy for the Packers. Something to keep an eye on there, whether he plays this Sunday. He's been banged up throughout the season, but he's obviously a good playmaker for the Packers, especially with Jordy Nelson gone. So he kind of looks like that number two receiver with Davante Adams on the outside being number one. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you guys next week after the Packers game. Hopefully the Rams come away 8-0. Throughout the week, we're going to be keeping you updated on previews, recapping the win over the 49ers. So follow us on Twitter at the RamsWire. You can follow me at Cam DeSilva. And as always, be sure to check out theramswire.com. Thanks, guys.